Men are influencers. And men lead homes and families and people and communities. And if the church is weak in men, then the church is weak, period.
This is Straight Talk.
Well, today I'm starting a new series entitled Straight Talk for Men. As I taught this Bible study, I gathered men from the church, and this is just a male audience. So high in testosterone and straightforward to the heart of men. Now, if you're a woman and you want to listen in on this teaching, that would be great. You're going to learn some things that God has to say to men. But if you're a man, wherever you're at, if you're driving in your car right now, if you're at work listening, if you're have your headphones on and jogging, I want you to listen up because I believe that God has a word for you today. I've had a burden to reach out to men for many, many years. When I first started pastoring, I realized how the church seemed to have a lot of women and very few men. And I'll never forget when I first started pastoring, I would go to the church and pray over the pews and say, God, give me at least 12 men. We were just a small group of people, and I had very, very few men. Well, God has raised up hundreds of men now, and I've had the opportunity of leading literally hundreds of men to Christ and have a huge heart to see men rise up in purity, to become husbands that love their wives and fathers that invest in their children, that men that know how to influence, know how to lead, men that understand their position and their role. So this series, Straight Talk for Men, is for that. It's challenging men to rise up and become the men of God that God has wired you to be and destined you to be.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. This week on Straight Talk, we begin a live Bible study series that was recorded a few years ago for men only. And we will begin looking specifically at what it means to be a man of God. The message is called The Making of a Man. Our text will be found in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Here's Pastor Mark.
Men are influencers, and that men lead homes and families and people and communities. And if the church is weak in men, then the church is weak, period. And I started asking myself, God, why is it that all across America, the church is the least populated segment of people in the church are 20-something-year-old men. But overall, by and large, the church has a famine of men that are there. And I began to pray, God, what is it? What's the problem with, is there a problem with men? Is it that we're more hard-hearted than women? Is it that we don't understand? Is it that the church has become feminized or sissified so much that men don't show up at church because they don't think that it's something that they should be involved in? Is it that we've vacated our places of responsibility? Why is it that by and large there's many more women in church carrying spiritual responsibility than there are men? And by the way, that's not only true of Chicago. I think it's true of across America. Overall, in this country, you go to churches on Sunday morning, and you'll find that the ratio is usually 2-to-1 women versus men. Because for whatever reasons it is, we seem to have a hard time connecting with the heart of men. Yet I believe when you go to the scripture and you start looking at the Bible, you start realizing that down through the centuries, both the Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus, when he chose 12 disciples, he chose what? He chose 12 men. Now, of course, he had other followers and helpers that were women, and they were some of the most committed. Part of that inner core were women, but he chose 12 men. And Jesus invested in 12 men. He discipled 12 men. He poured his life into 12 men, and he gave them a commission that they were to go and change the world. And so I've had a burning heart for a while just to get some men together and say, men, let's talk a bit about why this is a challenge, why it's a challenge in the church, for men really to rise up to their positions, what it means to be a man of God. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to give an opportunity for question and answer as well. And I have a few different topics that I know I've been burning in my heart to talk to. Just have a meeting with men and say, let's talk about this, guys. Let's talk about what God says about this. And we're going to talk over the next couple of weeks about really what it means to be men that mentor other men. We're going to talk about some of the challenges that men face in purity and leading families. And some of you are single, some of you are married, some of you are young, some of you are older already, have some gray hair there. But nonetheless, we're going to try to talk about issues and topics that overall deal with the heart of a man and what it means to be a godly man and what it means for you and I to step up to the plate as men. Now, whether you're 15 or whether you're 75, what it means, what's God's call on your life now, and are you stepping up to that plate and are you becoming the man of God that he's called you to be? So we're going to jump into the Bible, and I'm going to ask that you take your Bibles and turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2. And I thought this would be a great place to start in Titus chapter 2. Because the Apostle Paul is addressing the men. Now he addresses the women, what it means for them to be involved in the church. But he's talking to men. And I have a desire. I think one of the greatest challenges in society today is for some of our young men. I think these guys here, they have a challenge. Because they have a challenge on what society tells them a man is. And let's see, how old are you? 15. 14, 15, 15, 14, 15. I think society is trying to define to these guys what it means to be a man. And if it's television that's defining it, if it's advertising that's defining it, if it's the streets that's defining it, then we're going to come up with a real skewed view of manhood. And I'm convinced that it needs to be the church and men of God, men that know what it means to be a man of God, to walk in integrity, men that knows what it means to have a call upon their life, to lead their families, love their wives, have children, raise them right, walk in integrity, walk in purity, keep their pants on, live for God, have values, stand up for what is right, fight the right battles, don't fight the battles that aren't worth fighting, keep their house in order. Know how to take care of their family, provide for the family. Someone needs to be teaching this generation what it means to be a real man, but a man of God. And I'm convinced that there's a huge challenge in that area. And so if we're not learning in the Church of the Living God how that needs to happen, then if it's not being taught here, if we don't know, and some of you were raised in homes where you had really godly parents that showed you what it was to be a man of God. And some of you had really lousy dads. And that's not the example that you're to follow. And some of you are still trying to figure out what it means to be a man of God. And so we need to go back to the book, back to the Bible, and discover what this is all about. But I've for several months now, I have to tell you that I've had this burning desire. We need to deal with men. We need to talk with men. We need to teach about this. So I'm excited to be talking about this because I really believe there's some powerful things in the Word of God that we need to get a grip on. Some of these things you're going to like. Some of these things you're not going to like. Some of these things are going to challenge the views that you've already had. But my prayer is that we come out of this session with a renewed vision for manhood and what it really means to walk in God. All right, let me take your attention to Titus. This is just our starting point. We have to start somewhere. And so I want to start in Titus chapter 2. We're going to be looking really at verse one, just one verse here. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this. This, by the way, is the Apostle Paul writing to Titus, and he's instructing them and teaching him. And he says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. He says, you need to know your doctrine. You need to be able to know and understand what's right. I'm teaching you. You know, sometimes when we talk about doctrine, we think it's just theology. Theology is what? The study of God, right? And the Apostle Paul is saying, no. Sound doctrine is really practical. It applies to every area of life. The Bible talks about every area of life. How to do business. How to be married to your wife. How to love her. How to have sex with her. How to raise children. It talks about how to go and start a business and how to manage your finances. It talks about how to worship and how to pray and how to live and how to forgive. It talks about how to be healthy in your body, mind, soul, and spirit. And the Bible's very practical about a lot of areas of life. And so sound doctrine is not just concepts about God and theology. Sound doctrine is about how God wants us to live out our lives, right? And so he says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. You need to be able to teach. He's telling Titus, I want you to teach these practical things about what it means to live for God. And it needs to be in accordance with sound doctrine. What you teach needs to match sound doctrine. It can't be, you can't just take Jerry Springer's philosophy of life. You need to go to the Bible. It needs to be sound doctrine that's being taught here. Not just pop culture theology. It needs to be according to the Word of God. And then he gives them a couple things. He says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and endurance. So he gives some characteristics, and I want to talk to those of you that maybe have been around a while, and he says, this is what an older man, I don't think he's talking about older in age-wise, but I think he's talking about people that have been in God for a while. Those of you that consider yourself mature, those of you that say, I'm no novice, I've been around for a while, I've been around God for a while, and I'm one of the people that should be mentoring, should be an example. I should be coaching younger men. And he's talking to them about some of the characteristics that should be evidence in your life. So if you think that maybe you're a mature person, you've been around for a while, or if you aspire to maturity, these are some of the characteristics that need to be involved in your life.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called The Making of a Man, which is from our current series called Straight Talk for Men. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Titus chapter 2, and his message, The Making of a Man.
You say, well, Mark, how do you get those? How do you achieve those? And I'm going to talk about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to talk to you about six characteristics that need to accompany what it means to be mature, a man of God. Someone that you say, hey, this guy's not a novice. They've been around a while. They have some characteristics. These are solid, strong characteristics of someone that's been walking in God for a while. Okay, six characteristics. And before I jump into these characteristics, let me give you a little story. Because I believe that those of you that are hungry to grow as men of God, you're going to grow, but you got to be hungry. The difference between people that grow and don't grow many times is their level of hunger. I heard one time that years ago, there was a famous teacher. He was a Greek teacher, actually. And his reputation had spread all over about how much wisdom he had, and he would take young apprentices from young men, would come from all over because they would want to learn in his school. In those days, they had no formal schools. If you remember, in the days of Jesus and even a couple hundred years after, before, their schools were a little bit informal. What you would do is you just follow the rabbi or teacher around. You'd walk with them, live with them, hang out with them, and that was your school. They didn't sit in a classroom and have desks and pens and take notes. You would just, if you really wanted to be an apprentice, you would go and hang out and learn and talk and walk and ask questions and dialogue, and that's the way you learned. So they were kind of roving, walking schools. And a young apprentice came to this older teacher, and he said, "Can I join your class? I really want to learn." And he said, "Well, okay, first of all, before I say yes or no, let me take you down to the river." And so he took him down to a river, and he brought the young man till he was about waist deep in water. And he said, "How much do you want to learn?" He said, "I want to learn a lot. I'm hungry. I'm desirous to learn and grow." So he took his head and he put it underwater. Kept it down there for a little bit. And then he pulled it up. He says, "How much do you want to learn?" The young man, gasping for air a little bit, said, I want to learn. I want to grow. I really want to learn a lot. I'm hungry for it." So he put his head down, this time a little bit longer, until the arms were flinging a little bit. And then he came up, and this time his face was a little blue, and he's gasping for air, and he says, "What do you want now?" He says, "I want to learn. I really want to. I want to grow. I want to learn." And he took him one more time and held him down. Some of you like your baptism, right? I've been at a couple baptisms where they held you down extra long just to make sure everything was done right. And they held him down. And this time the people around started gasping a little bit, like he's going to drown them. I mean, he's had them and he was flinging his arms. And suddenly his arms stopped flinging as much. And he came up and the young man gasped. And he says, "What do you want?" "Air," he said. "Air. I want air." And the teacher said, "When you want to learn, the way you want air is when you will begin to grow." So when you want to be a man of God and learn and grow in character and maturity, when you really want it that much, not just halfway, not just in a vague kind of, "Yeah, it'd be nice," but when you really want it, when you're hungry for it, when you desire it, that's when you're going to grow. And so I'm convinced that becoming a man of God is all about that. How hungry are you? Do you really want to grow? Do you really want to grow and become a man of God and become all that God wants you to be? So let's look at the characteristics. If you're of a mature man of God, and we're going to talk to those of you that aspire to maturity, those of you that have been around for a while, those of you that aren't young bucks anymore. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit more to the younger ones as well, about some of the challenges that they face. You see, the older men need to be mentoring and training younger men. That's our call, by the way. How do we learn? We learn by passing down, by living together, by older men that have greater maturity taking younger men under their wings and making it happen. Now where is that supposed to be happening? It's supposed to be happening in the home. And then it's supposed to be happening in the church, right? The basic unit that God has given is the home. And the basic teacher that God has given is the father. And most young men, if God's design were flowing in a spirit-filled way and we hadn't messed up God's design, it's your father that should be teaching you how to pray. It's your father that should be sitting you down and having the sex talks with you about what it means to walk in purity and what it means to treat a woman the right way and what it means to hold yourself in self-discipline and what it means to marry right. It's the father that should be teaching young men what it means to fold their hands and pray. It's the father that should be teaching young men what it means to earn a living and to work with integrity and have discipline. It's the father that should be instilling values and character into the boys that they're raising. It's the job of the father. This should be flowing from the father. The problem is that we have a lot of dysfunctional, messed up, overstressed, broken down, chaotic families. And so oftentimes the fathers are barely surviving in their own lives, so they can barely barely handle their own lives. So they're not able to instruct and train their children. So we've grown up, many of us, in a fatherless society. And so we have a lot of men running around that never been taught the basics of what it means to really be a man of integrity. No one's taught us the basics of value, of hard work, of treating a woman right, of working on your marriage, of having kids, of what it means to work hard and respect and what it means to be a man of God in the church and what it means to have character. No one's taught us those basic things. I had the privilege of having a father who, by God's grace, God got a hold of him when he was 18 years old. He was on a bad road. I mean, he was a fighter, and he was into cars and mechanics and fighting and women, and God got a hold of him when he was 18 years old, turned his life totally around. Dad was kind of a man's man. He liked fast cars. He liked motorcycles. He liked fixing the engines. He was a bit of a brawler when he was a kid. So when he got saved, he just, you know, kind of took that into his Christianity. God had to get a hold of his life. And I had the privilege of being able to have a father that taught me a lot of those things. That was a man that taught me how to pray, and he had the sex talks with us, and he taught me about marriage and godliness and working hard and respect and watching my mouth and going to school and doing my homework and what it meant to love God and an incredible thing. And my prayer is, I have two boys of my own. I have a daughter and two boys. And my prayer has been, God, I want to mentor my boys also. I have a 13-year-old son, Josiah, and I have an 8-year-old son, Grant. And my prayer and my desires, God, I want to be able to be that father to them. I want to instill them. I want to have the right talks at the right time. I want to take them with me. I want them to know what it means to be a godly man because they watch the way I treat my wife and because we have the conversations that we have. But listen, it's a challenge for all of us. How many of you are fathers here? There's a lot of guys that are fathers here. How many of you know it's a huge challenge? And so if we're going to pass down, if we're going to mentor, here's what the Bible says. There's six characteristics that he talks about older, mature men need to have. And these are six characteristics that if you're aspiring to maturity, if you're saying, hey, I want to go to the next level, I want to grow, here's what needs to be evident in your life. If you're going to mentor and teach others, these characteristics need to be a part of who you are. Number one, he says, teach the older men to be temperate. That's what it says in the NIV. Now, this word temperate is an interesting word because it's the opposite. It's used of men who are sober in contrast to someone who's drunk. You may have heard in the, about 100 years ago in America or in the early 1900s, there was the temperance movement. You remember, heard of that word? The temperance movement. It basically meant the non-alcoholic, don't drink movement. But it comes from this word to be temperate, which means there's this element of self-control. It's the opposite of drunkenness. When someone is drunk, what happens to someone that drinks a little too much alcohol? Not that anybody here has tons of experience with it, but let's think back to the old days, and what would happen? What happens when someone has a little too much alcohol? They get rowdy. They get belligerent. They begin to lose control. You say things that you normally wouldn't. You go to the bathroom on the street corners when, if you had your senses, you wouldn't. And you stagger and walk because you can't walk straight and you slur a little bit. Why? Because you've lost a little bit of control because the alcohol has impaired your judgment.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago with a message called The Making of a Man. We invite you to join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.